Blog Talk Radio.
Mary?
I'm here.
Hello? Okay. Do I need to press anything?
No, you're fine.
Okay.
Just trying to get this music to play.
Where would I go without your hand holding me? And how could I live without you? I can't see. Lord, what would I do in life? Where would I go now? How would I handle things? All that I know is I'm mine again. Lord, I fall so short. You know I am, Lord, from the
Good evening. Thank you so much for tuning into the Next Chapter Widows Ministry Talk Show, a ministry embracing widows and others who have lost a special loved one. This is Mary Hollis, your host, and it's always a pleasure being here and encouraging you through this journey. Well, our scripture read, Honor Widows That Are Widows Indeed, coming from 1 Timothy 5:3. We finished our, I would say, a total of 2 6-week sessions, and now we are here listening to wonderful testimonies. And the testimonies are coming from our Widows Touch book that 26 widows wrote their true stories of encouragement and healing. Last week we heard about the Good Samaritan by Denise Brown. And tonight, I am not going to talk about anything else because I want Brenda Newsom is coming on soon. Her story is on page 105, and it's called My Name is Victory. Her story, I'm going to tease her. Her story is the longest story in the book. This story is such a great, wonderful story. True story of the journey that she, you know, her childhood sweetheart, the journey that she had to deal with and bear through after losing her special loved one. She's going to come on the air and talk in her own words and tell you about her story. My name is Victory. Well, Brenda Newsom, she's a member of Fairfield Baptist Church, and I am just going to go ahead and let her come on now so she can have all the time because we only have 30 minutes, and I just want to hear her story and how she's going to tell it. I'm sure you'll be very encouraged and blessed by it. Well, tonight, Brenda Newsom.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Brenda Newsom, and it's a joy to be here tonight to share my testimony, and I pray that it is a blessing to someone that is going through. because I know at times you feel like you can't make it. How would you make it from 1 week to the next week, from 1 week to the next month, from 1 week to the next year? I met my husband in elementary school in the sixth grade. You know, we played around, children, thought we liked each other, loved each other, and all through high school we dated off and on. We were married for 31 years. He was all I knew in my life. So you can imagine on that night, October 31st, 2005, unexpectedly, he passed, had a massive heart attack. No one expected that. It was a surprise to everyone and a shock to me. My life was devastated that night. I had no desire to live. I couldn't eat, couldn't sleep. Thought I was in a bad dream and could not wake up. It was really hard. When he went to work, about 30 minutes after he went to work, I got a call from his job, and they asked me, had he been sick? And I said, well, no, just regular day, complained about back pain, mouth pain, not recognizing the signs. And they said, well, he passed out. We can't bring him to. So I got the children. We went up there, still not thinking anything serious. And when we got there, he was on the floor. They were resuscitating him. I'm still thinking he just okay, just passed out. When I got to the hospital, still thinking everything was okay. But when they took me to the back room, I still had no idea that's what I was going to hear. I thought they was going to let me know what was going on with him. And when the doctor talked to me, nothing was registered until he said, the coroner's like to do an autopsy when they die of such a young age. And that's when I just lost it. I couldn't believe this was happening to me. I expected if anybody would leave, it would be me. I was diagnosed that same year he passed with congestive heart failure. So I had no idea. He only had a common cold. He never was sick, never had any problem with blood pressure. They just diagnosed him that year with high cholesterol, but the doctor said it wasn't high enough to put him on medication. They'll just monitor it for 6 months. But he didn't make it 6 months. 3 months later, he died. So it was a shock to everyone. I really just thought there was no tomorrow, and I just lived from one day to the next day, dreading waking up in the morning to go to work the next day, looking forward to going to sleep, hoping I wouldn't wake up. You know, knowing that I still had children, had two children that were still in high school and two that was out of school. And it was selfish of me, but that's where my head was at that time. But I, with God placing everybody in my life, starting from my family members, church family and friends, and then he introduced me to Mary, which is the director of Next Chapter Widow Ministry. And at the time, she gave me the card saying Next Chapter Widow Ministry. I don't want this. I mean, I wasn't rude to her, but I felt like that. That's what I felt in my heart. I didn't want this. I wasn't ready to go to the next chapter in my life. I never thought I would have made it to this point in my life. I had no desire to be with anyone. I had planned not never getting married again. I didn't want anyone in my life. I just wanted to just live until it was time for me to go. As they say, living to die. But then as time went by, when we got to around 7 years, one of the ministered to me and said, God said that in order for me to move on, I got to let go. And one of the things was that I had on my wedding rings. I wore my wedding rings for 7 years. And the year that I took it off, I cried all through the end of the year because I was having to let go and I didn't want to let go. And then the eighth year, I was talking to God. I said, God, I don't understand what's going on. I thought I was doing better. And he reminded me that 7 years mean completion and 8 years mean new beginning. And that eighth year is when my heart was restored. I was able to hold up my head and smile again. The light began to come back in my eyes. I knew, you know, I know that I have the smiles that just light up, but it had gone. I had no light in me. And I had to stay close to the Word, stay close to positive people that would encourage me in the Word. There were some that would drop negative thoughts in my spirit, and I had to get away from that, those kind of people, because it would drag you down if you allow that. So you had to allow positive people in your life to encourage you, to help you walk this new journey in your life. So I stayed in the church, stayed close to the word, stayed in the choir rehearsal, stayed in the choir, anything I could do to stay close to God to help me get through this. I never really thought I would have made 13 years. It'll be 14 years on October 31st. But I'm glad to say that I can smile again and I'm ready to live my life again. I wrote a poem at the end of my story, thanking God for the things that he did in my life, and it's entitled Because of Christ. Because of Christ, I can face today. Because of Christ, I can face tomorrow. For he knows all the pain, and he knows all of my stains. Yet he loves me just the same, in spite of my stain through my broken heart. Because of Christ, I can face today. Because of Christ, I can face tomorrow. He sees my tears, and he knows my fears. He hear my cry, and he knows I try. Because of his faithfulness, he was there to remove my fears and dry my tears. He said, trust me, my child, and live one day at a time. Because he has restored my heart and restored my joy, I can love again with a free heart. For I found myself and I found my worth, and it's because of Christ. And I just felt like in order for me to get through what I've gone through, I had to continue keeping Christ before me. I know we must move on with our lives, but it is hard when you face a death such as what I faced. That was the only person in my life that I knew, and he was my soulmate. He was my companion. He was my friend. He was the father of my four children. So that was the hardest thing that I could face in my life. I've had other deaths and was able to get through it, but each death is different. And I think the only reason why I was able to face the other death that I was able to face is because I had my companion right by my side. But then when he was gone, there was no one to help me get through it until I leaned on my sisters and my friends and leaned on my church family. But most of all, I found strength in the Next Chapter Widow Ministry. It was a place to go and talk to someone that understood what you were going through, that had gone through the same thing that I was going through. I thank God for Mary, and I thank God for Sheila. I thank God that I didn't shut down and close them out of my lives. So I was able to move on. There's a scripture that I really like. It said, better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof, Ecclesiastes 7:8. So I know, in spite of, even though I was happy in my marriage and I had some ups and downs, I know that it's going to be better in the end, that I can still be happy again. I don't have to live a sad life until the end. Because it will be better at the end. In the Message Bible, it tells you that the endings are better than the beginning. So I know, and I'm expecting a better ending, despite what I've gone through. Hello.
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, just wanted to make sure you're still here because I'm really quiet. I don't know if you have any questions for me. I wanted to make the story as short as possible, even though it's a long story. I can say that there's a stage that we normally go through, and I face some of those stages like denial, anger, I wanted to blame other people for the loss of my husband. I wanted to even blame myself. I had guilt. I faced a lot of those things that you face going through a loss. And even though I've gone through losing my husband, I still don't think that facing death is easy in any situation, because I've learned that it's based on the relationship that you have with that loved one.
Brenda, give us some thoughts about your children.
I have four children, three daughters and one son. My two oldest, they handled the loss pretty well. I mean, they were upset at the beginning, but they went through it pretty well. My two youngest, they went off to college, and they surrounded themselves around friends. They didn't want to face the loss of the dad, but they didn't want to talk about it. They thought that maybe if they surround themselves around the friends, they could deal with it. But delaying grief is not the answer. And I had to learn that myself as well, because at the time when I lost Albert, I didn't want to talk about it. But then when I finally met with Mary and talked about it, I realized after I talked to her, it was like a burden lifted off my shoulders. Well, my son went all through college, you know, disguising his emotions and feelings and doing what he did and hanging out with his friends. And then he came back in the end. He's out of college now. He's been out for about 4 years. And he's telling me now that he needs counseling. He realized that he needs counseling. At the time when I tried to get counseling for him, he didn't want to talk about it, would not talk about it, just sat there. Stop making him go. I guess I should have continued to make him go, but I didn't. I just stopped. It was hard trying to hold myself together and trying to hold them together, and I knew I had to as a parent, as a mother, but it was such a struggle for me, and I didn't want to fight with him, so I just did not enforce him or push him to get counseling. My youngest daughter, she still have her moments today. Every anniversary, holidays, she think about her dad. She think about that she'll never get a chance to have him to give him away at her wedding. He wasn't there for her graduation. So she's still struggling with it right now today at 13 years, as well as my son. But the two oldest ones, you know, we sit down, we talk about happy thoughts and laugh about some of the things that he did. And they seem to be okay. They appear to be okay. They haven't said that they were going through anything at the time. My sisters, they still have their moments. They sit down and they'll talk about it with me, but certain songs would come on and it would remind them of him, and they have their moments. My husband used to sing. He had a really nice voice, and I think that's what made me melt for him. So songs that he would sing sometimes would come on the radio. I'm able to listen to it now. I couldn't listen to it for a long time, but I'm able to listen to it because it reminds me of him. And the voices, it's just like hearing his voices. So I can listen to it, but my sister and him still struggle with that. My children, they don't like listen to it at all. They won't listen to it. So they are getting by pretty much okay, but my son, I worry about him a lot. I try to get him to talk to me from time to time. As a man, he don't, you know, the things that young men go through when they don't have a father to talk to, and he don't want to talk to anybody else. He rather talk to his dad. So I pray that he get through this and eventually, you know, trust God to get him through it. But at this point, you know, he's still going through.
Well, prayer is power. It changes things, so don't give up on him. Keep praying and asking the Father to get him the help that he needs, and you encourage him as well and seek him help because, like I say, after 13 years, he needs if he feels that he needs counseling, you need to find help. And maybe I can give you some referrals. Pastor Haynes, who's our advisor, I'm sure he will be able to have some suggestions. And so we'll talk about that afterward. Try to get him some help, because there's help out there. But the good thing it is that he came to you, letting you know how he's still feeling. So that's a great thing. So he wants to continue to go, not releasing those feelings that he need to release. So, you know, it was a good thing for him to come forward and expressing his feelings to you. So, but I will talk with Pastor Haynes and see who he suggests that could give him, you know, some help in counseling.
Okay.
Right. And I don't have any more questions, because pretty much you were very detailed in how you told your story. Your story is several pages long. is the last story in the book. So I want you ladies out there, if you do not have the book, pick up. All you have to do is go online to Amazon.com. It's only $15. And get this book and read one story at a time. You don't have to try to read them all at one time. Just every now and then you'll feel like being encouraged. Read one of these stories, because it will encourage you. Because one of those stories, you're going to be so connected to it. And it's going to help you through your journey also. There might be several stories. And just knowing that God will lead you to the right one to read. When it's needed, he will do just that. If you have faith in God and asking God for guidance, he will definitely lead you to the right stories and helping you with resources that you need to get through this journey. And he led you here to the next chapter, so that's the first step. And I'm hoping that this talk show is encouraging you as you listen to it each Tuesday night. And Brenda, wanted to mention, it's been 13 years. That's a long time. But I know it took some time for you to really release it, but you have been strong going through this journey. And I also want to mention to you that whenever we have any type of event, Brenda gives back to the ministry. She's a photographer. She gets the pictures and she posts it on the Next Chapter Widows Ministry website. So and also, if you have Facebook, go to Facebook to our page, the Next Chapter Widows Ministry. You can see wonderful, fun, and encouraging pictures throughout. We've been posting those pictures for years. We've been in existence for 15 years. So there's lots of pictures and stories. How the different things that the ministry, our trips. We have lots of pictures of different trips. We've been planning trips of over 8 years now. So this ministry is here to encourage you. And thank you so much, Brenda, to have told your story, and all the things that you said should encourage someone in knowing that if she got through it in this last 13 years, you can get through it also. It's going to take some time. It takes one day at a time. Keep asking God for his the strength to get through these different days, and he will get you through. Of course, you're going to go back and think about the stages of grief. After we finish these testimonies, I am going to talk about the stages of grief, because it's like a hill, up and down. Sometimes you're doing well, and all of a sudden you knock right back down where you started from. So I'm going to talk about that later. But just knowing that these testimonies are to help you, letting you know that, hey, it's 13 years. I can't believe it's 13 years, Brenda. But you got through it. Brenda struggled through her 13 years, so the first part, because, like I said, she did not want to accept being a widow. She did not want to accept the role that most women, most widows, don't want to have the role. None of us want to. I didn't. I didn't want to accept the role of in being losing my spouse and then have to take on this task for God. You know, I felt cheated at first, but now I know that God He became my husband. He became my provider. He became the person that I, when I needed a hug or a comfort, he gives me that encouragement. So just knowing that you will get through it and keep listening to these wonderful testimonies. Get a widow's touch. Read one story at a time, and it will help you. It will help you through your journey of grief. So thank you so much once again, Brenda, for telling your story. And
thank you.
We will have another story next week. And we're going to have it for a couple more weeks, a couple more testimonies. Then we're going to go into the stages of grief. And, Brenda, do you have anything else that you want to say before we're getting closer to the end of the show?
Other than I chose the title, My Name is Victory, because all of that I went through, and I didn't think I was going to make it. I came out in the end as victorious, and I still thank God today that I can laugh and smile again. So I claim that name as my name is victory.
Yes, that's a great story. All of the different names that each story has their title, it really tells the story of that story. Just like last week we had a Good Samaritan. Denise's husband was a Good Samaritan before he passed. He was out helping someone. A car had broken down, and he was there helping that person. And he was hit. He was killed. So a Good Samaritan died. So all of these stories is there to encourage you in some ways. Just like Brenda explained why she named, you know, my name is Victory. Yes, she's a victory. 13 years is a long time. She's gotten through it. And she's healthy. She's reaching back, helping the next chapter of Widows Ministry. You can get there, too, just knowing that you also, God doesn't love Brenda no more than he loves you. He loves all of us. He loves the widow. When he indicated in the scripture, honor widows that are widows indeed, that means a lot. He cares about us, cares about us and our children. And just like Brenda talked about her son, don't forget, if you have a child in your home or children that lost their husband, their father. So if you're going through it, they got to be going through it also. So don't forget about your children. Talk with them and see where they are through this journey. That is very important. And yes, seek help for them if they need it. And we have 2 minutes, and I would like to read two scriptures and one announcement once again. Our faith, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Even though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Go and pull that up as a children's verse, a children's Bible. See what God is really saying to you. He is your shepherd. He will never leave you. Walk through these darkness with you right now, and he will bring light to you. Because the next scripture says, you, O Lord, keep my lamp burning. My God, turn my darkness into light. He's going to do just that.
Amen.
Not going to leave you alone. He's going to bring some light. Sometimes the light might go off and darkness comes back again. It's like I said, the stages of grief is like a hill up and down. But he will continue to let his light so shine on you because he loves you. Sometimes you don't feel like that because you want your spouse back. Our relative, friends, and family was promised to us forever and ever. When we go up to the heavenly place, we will see our husbands and wives or whatever, whoever relationship, again. But on earth, there's an ending. But up there is a new beginning. One announcement. Once again, I'm still pressing for you to please come aboard and come with us to the Biltmore Estate in Asheville, North Carolina. It's $331. It includes transportation, two nights lodging, four meals, two breakfasts, two dinners, several tours, not just of the Biltmore Estate. We'll be touring other places as well. So get on board. You still have time to pay. The last payment is due April the 5th. So please come aboard and join us. We have a great time on all of our trips. And that is it for tonight. It is 10:30. So be blessed and tune in again next week. Have someone to tell a friend who needs encouragement, because we're going to have another testimony next week. And that is it for tonight. Be blessed and have a great week. And good night.
Good night.
All that.